This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Opportunities.
Part of the community.
The next idea.
The culture for innovation is a culture with a sense of destiny, a sense of that tomorrow is going to be better than today. That's what the word progress means.
Driverless cars are on the horizon. That much is very clear. We've heard from businesses, engineers, politicians about what this could mean for all of us. Our latest contributors to The Next Idea represent another point of view, people with disabilities. If you can't drive because of physical impairments, neurological impairments, access to transportation is one of the biggest barriers to employment and to social activity. With us now is John Lepetz. He's a senior associate of Lepetz & Associates. It's an automotive alternative fuels consulting group, and he is a longtime advocate of opportunities for people living with disability. Welcome, John.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we welcome Kathy McAdam, who's an assistive technology coordinator at the Michigan Disability Rights Coalition. Good to have you with us, Kathy.
Good to be here.
Speaking of the challenges that the disability community has in transportation, it is probably worth noting, Kathy, you are completely blind and you weren't able to make the arrangements to join us in the studio today. And I've got to imagine the idea that one day you could step out and get into an autonomous vehicle and it would bring you right to where you want to be. That has to be absolutely thrilling.
I'm all about that. I think that would be awesome.
Give us a sense of the current challenges. I'll start with you, Kathy. Let's take this a little deeper, that you and other people with disabilities have in just getting around Michigan.
Well, you're about an hour and a half from my home location, so trying to get to you today by bus would have been a horrendous task. And the cost of a cab or even one of the Uber or Lyft cars would have probably been rather significant as well. So it is challenging, and sometimes the distance makes it even more so. And bus transportation has gotten a little bit better with the Americans with Disabilities Act, but it's still quite a challenge. And sometimes you can use a big chunk of the day just getting somewhere by bus.
And in your work, John Lepetz, what have you seen?
Well, I've seen very similar things. At Ford, I was involved in a group that was Ford employees dealing with disabilities, and I have a walking ambulatory disability myself. So you see people face these challenges, and it limits their ability to contribute. They can't be where the work is. They can't necessarily perform in a timely fashion. I mean, many job interviews, one of the first questions is, do you have reliable transportation? And it's a totally legitimate question. I mean, a business needs to know that the workforce can get there. But unfortunately, it becomes a subtle form of discrimination because a lot of people with challenges just simply can't do that.
And I'm interested in what the reaction has been in the disability community as we've seen this steady procession of news that autonomous vehicles, these self-driving cars, are indeed being developed and are being tested. And, you know, they're on the horizon. What has that reaction been like, John?
Well, it's interesting. It's almost, personally, and Kathy may add some color to it, to me it's like a hidden secret, I think, because there's so much excitement about the concept of what we traditionally might think of as the Jetson situation, where people get into a vehicle and they read their newspaper from the front seat and they just joyously get taken to their destination. But with people with challenges, it's much more subtle than that. The technologies that are involved, maybe you can do certain things, but not on a continuous basis. Maybe you have a challenge that is more like a dementia or something, so you get lost. To me, there are subtle things. The phrase I think of is aging in place, even. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the challenges to me, it's sort of funny. I don't think the most difficult conversation that a child has with their parents is the sex talk. I think it's dad. Your keys are representing a concern for us. You know, we need to take away your keys. Don't worry. Everything will be normal. But in America, this is a huge loss of independence. Huge. And the idea that you could purchase a car and perhaps with some of these enabling technologies, not go from zero to totally autonomous necessarily, mm-hmm. but to begin to use some of these enablers so that you can, I'll say, age in place. And as the car takes over more and more of the responsibilities, the loved ones, the other people, they can then be a little more comfortable knowing that, okay, grandma can get here for Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Kathy, what questions or what concerns are on your mind as you think toward a future where you might be behind a wheel or, you know, at least behind a computer, but you have the idea of being able to do what we talked about?
It was actually very interesting as I was preparing for this and actually had written a blog recently that covered across disabilities, because one of the things that dawned on me was, would I even be able to get a license to get in the car to drive it? And that's part of the discussion that's going on as far as autonomous cars. There's even some discussion of who's the driver. Is it the software or is it the person? But for people with disabilities, and I kind of removed myself a little bit because I think for someone who's totally blind, this is certainly a dream I have. But I was thinking about some of my friends with low vision or who have learning disabilities, and the possibilities of this technology are just astounding because you can drive with lenses, kind of like it looks like a telescope for people with low vision. But with some of the technology already available to let you know that you are a certain distance in front of a car or crossing a lane or parallel parking, there's already some phenomenal things happening that's making it possible for people who have a lot of challenges to probably be safer drivers. And it's really an exciting time.
And when you stop and think about the things that we are going, ooh, about, I know when I got a new loaner car, and unlike my current car, it has the little buzzer in the seat that lets you know when you've crossed the line. I'm like, wow, that's cool. But we're really looking at the autonomous vehicle equivalent of black and white television. When you think about what will be coming, we'll be looking back and going, oh, wasn't that quaint that we got excited about technology that let, you know, buzzed my butt when I crossed a line. But it's wonderful. But I'm thinking of the research and development part of things. And, John, since you worked at Ford for many years, how do you think the industry is doing in approaching people with disabilities in their research and development and in their production?
Well, as you know, having been in this this market, it takes a long time to bring new technologies mm-hmm. to market. So you see them coming out, and Kathy sort of alluded to this incrementally. So I think it was in 2010, Lincoln offered the parallel parking option. And now a lot of other cars at different price points have those same kinds of features. The adaptive cruise control, where the vehicle will slow down if you're on cruise and it approaches a vehicle. The blind side indications. So a lot of those technologies are being integrated into the vehicle. I don't know that the auto companies necessarily are, I'll say, identifying those technologies for the challenged population as much as they're trying to integrate them into the full suite of things that any driver would appreciate. But I think the leverage to the challenged driver is much greater because they're already working a little bit from a disadvantage in some of those situations. And I guess one point I'd like to make, because when we talk about autonomous vehicles, I sort of look at them as being in two families. There's the ones which maybe is more akin to the Jetson idea, where the vehicles are literally talking to each other and communicating, and you are sort of in a bubble. That, I think, is much further off just simply because of the infrastructure that's going to be required.
And also, I think it's not only the infrastructure, but also just the driver mindset. I have said this to people who are working in the field, that I think it's going to take, like, my generation. I'm a baby boomer. My generation of drivers to have passed on, in a way, to not be nervous about that, because I don't know that we can undo 40 or 50 years worth of driving experience. And it's going to take, I think, the newer drivers. I don't know. Tell me I'm wrong here, but I think it's going to take kind of a combination of that.
Well, the other aspect is, like last year, the auto industry built something like 17 million new cars.
Yeah.
None of those cars, or a very small number of them, are talking to anything. So right now, the second category of vehicles are the ones that are autonomous unto themselves. And
that's way on the horizon.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big distinction. So I think you're already seeing, as Kathy alluded, some of these technologies coming in. And I think it's going to open markets to people that perhaps were on the fence about whether you would get a new vehicle and what features you would look for. I think if you're purchasing a vehicle and you're maybe a more mature driver, and some of the challenges we spoke to, you might look at that and say, between the two vehicles, this one makes me much more comfortable that I'm going to be able to have it for a while, age into it. Maybe a young driver, same thing. You're going out without much experience. So we have an intelligent vehicle now. It can sort of help this young driver provide some wisdom. And I think the automakers are seeing that aspect of it, where they realize that the way the markets are defined, they can appeal to these different demographics by offering these kind of options.
And that's the first kind you're talking about. So that's where things are already being
transitional phase.
Transitional, perfectly put.
I do have to make a note on the cruise control development, because it was developed by an engineer who was blind. Mm. And I found that really fascinating. And this was a man who also used what they call echolocation. It's a way of walking and using mobility and using a lot of sound location. And I think including people with disabilities who have that kind of talent and bring a different perspective to how we think of driving is going to be very, very important as we move forward. Because, yes, this is going to take time. But I do think that whether it's a mobility issue or a learning disability or the way we think of things differently cognitively, there's all kinds of things that can be benefited as you're looking at new technologies. Technology today has just open all kinds of doors in so many different ways for people with disabilities. And this is just another avenue to bring that kind of talent forward.
And I know, Jen, you had shared kind of the idea of, as this is being developed, the importance of hearing from the disability community. You were mentioning that a lot of the vans that were being made for wheelchair users, oh, wait, they didn't actually meet the needs of the people who needed to get around in them. So that's to this point.
No, absolutely. The phrase I used to use is that people need to understand that a minivan is not the aspirational vehicle of the challenged population. Some people, you know, have challenges but from birth, like I do. Some others encounter them in midlife. Some of them have them in varying degrees. You know, as they age, things don't quite work as well. But I think it is important. Ford does have a group that works with the modifiers of companies that take vehicles. But we had a spokeswoman at Ford when I was there. It was a lady, probably, I'm guessing, in her mid-30s, was a race car driver. And her aspirational car was a Mustang. So she raced a Mustang. And, of course, it was fitted with the equipment. But being able to bring that perspective into the industry, it sort of alerts people that these subtle things actually open the door to a market of customers that otherwise you couldn't reach. And I think that's a pretty powerful thing.
Kathy McCann, if you could make one recommendation to those engineers and those developers working on self-driving vehicles, what would that be?
Oh, my.
She's got so many, she can't even boil it down to one, right?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that's exciting to me about this whole, and I'm not sure that this is going to answer your question, but one of the things that's exciting to me is the safety features that I think are going to make driverless cars or autonomous cars really, I think that's going to move forward the whole discussion of how fast this is going to move forward. Because I do think anybody who is a driver can lose concentration or focus. And having the autonomy to make your transportation safer, that's a really key thing.
What about your recommendation, John?
Well, I would agree with Kathy, is that you need, in any industry, you need something that is the pulling factor. And the idea, we value lives, and you can't put a price on that. So being able to offer safer methods of transportation in an industry like ours is a big deal. The other aspect I think that's important, and this is part of what we were trying to accomplish, and I think we did with the Ford employees dealing with disabilities, at least at Ford, was that we brought the voices of a lot of those concerns into the product development community. We made those different employees available. I myself sat on a lot of committees where we would discuss proposed ideas, and just being able to have that dialogue brings in, as Kathy mentioned, different perspectives. And you solve the problems differently, but then from the other side of solving the problems, you begin to better understand those challenges and you make the products just inherently much more viable for that population.
If we hit this holy grail that we've been discussing, the idea that people with disabilities can use autonomous vehicles to get around, Kathy, what changes do you think people will start to see in their communities in Michigan through that?
Well, you'll see much more inclusion in so many aspects of life. I mean, just getting, let's say I want to join a choir and be able to be at meetings on a regular basis, and I don't have transportation to get there. I mean, it can be as simple as recreation. But recreation also leads to socialization, which, you know, and of course employment to me is one of the keys. And John touched on this, but there were so many times I was asked if I have a driver's license before I even got to an interview. Mm-hmm. And to answer that honestly on an application form, I was going to leave myself out of an interview. So it's about employment, it's about recreation, it's just, it's hard to describe to people who drive and do it just as a routine of their daily life what's missing when you can't.
So true. Your thoughts, John. What would it mean for our communities?
Well, to me, this it almost gets personal, but I think it's almost like a self-esteem enabler, because if you can't get to where you want to go, you begin to stop doing the things you like to do. And so much in America, so much of this is that personal independence of transportation. Other countries, my daughter just came back from Europe, public transportation there is fairly broad. It's much easier when I've been there myself, moving around. In America, the distances are greater. But even beyond that, it is that personal independence of I want to go to the store by myself at this minute. And if you can't do those things, that loss of independence, you regress into the house, you don't have the social connections, you stop believing that there are things that you could do, you just don't put yourself out there. So I mean, I know self-esteem is a powerful word and we use it a lot of times, but I think it's something that if you don't have any boundaries, that challenge is a little bit different. The minute you have boundaries imposed, then it really restricts things. And as Kathy said, you don't know that until you've lost it. And at that point, it's a whole different story.
Kathy McAdam and John Lopez representing the views of the disability community and looking at this idea of autonomous cars, autonomous vehicles. It was really great to have both of you with us on The Next Idea. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for letting us talk about this exciting topic.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.